very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. We're with you right through until 12 midday. We're going to that unfortunate tragedy that unfolded on the N17. And we're going to Mount Cullen quite a bit on today's programme, just at the very top of it, just to remember those wonderful people. Joan Hardiman is joining me in studio. She's got her lovely book of poetry out. We're looking at the new ophthalmology pathway, indeed. It has substantially reduced waiting lists for young people. Dr. Geraldine Comer joins us on that today. The iPass situation is not fit for purpose. We've got a local story on that that'll kind of get you scratching your head. Dave O'Connell has got the Connacht Tribune headlines. Mogi Maher joins us. They're doing a 1,000-kilometre cycle. Daniel Taylor joins us, and much more, including Hours to Protect. That and more between now and 12 midday. The comment lines are all open if you want to get through to us today. And thank you to all involved in our programme yesterday, indeed, from the Access programme in the college. It was a huge success in the University, and they were getting calls into the late evening, so we're delighted with that. And also, don't forget, we've got a giveaway in association with the team from Arran Island Ferries, so we'll be giving you details on that and the queue to call and all that goes with it from there. So please do stay with us right through. Yesterday morning, I was a little cross because we were getting calls as to why I had not referred to that tragedy which unfolded on the N17 the previous day. I didn't refer to it at the time, but I did when I was finishing the programme, saying there's a local angle to this and there's a lot of sadness involved. And at the time and from the previous night, I did know that the tragedy involved the village of Mount Cullen. And unfortunately, the three Bowden family members, mom and two daughters, were involved in that accident, coming home from Donegal, where she's from, to her home in Mount Cullen, and that accident happened. That investigation goes on. But the one thing I can say about the people of Mount Cullen, because I've a foot in every parish up there, is that when tragedy strikes in Mount Cullen, no matter what it is, and believe me, they've had an awful lot of them, but when tragedy strikes, Mount Cullen comes together. I want to go to Father Martin Whelan in a few minutes' time. Councillor Noel Thomas joins us. We're waiting for others to join us as well. But I'm joined by Adrian Devan, who's a family friend who lives in Mount Cullen. And like many, they knew Una and her kids through sport and school. And he joins me on the programme today. Adrian, a sad day and a sombre day for Mount Cullen.
Indeed, Keith. And firstly, I just want to convey on behalf of Mount Cullen and the wider communities our deepest condolences to David and Una's father, John, her sister Zima and Katrina, and the wider Bowden and Carolyn families. And we all pray for Una and Kieran and Saoirse. Absolutely devastating news breaking during the week, Keith.
Yeah, no, the news came, so it did, and unfortunately, I suppose we all heard about the accident in Mayo, and then that was it. That was fine until around 9:30 it started to filter through that there was a Mount Cullen family, and the Bowden family were those that were the ones that were involved in this. But since then, there's been an outpouring of grief from the community for the community.
That's right, Keith. I don't think I've seen anything like it before. And as you said, no better village than Mount Cullen to rally round in good times and bad. And sadly, it's not a good time for the village. And everyone is just floored with grief at the moment. And I just spoke with some of Una's family there this morning, and they're very grateful and comforted by the wishes and supports that they're receiving at this time through many channels, through clubs, friends. And I'm a friend of Tom Maguire, Una's first cousin from RAFO, so I've been in touch with them since we got the news on Tuesday night.
And unfortunately for everybody involved in this, then unfortunately for David, he was getting the news while he was working for the United Nations abroad, again, helping other people.
That's right. David, from what I've learned over the last number of days, has always helped other people working away. You know, just trying to make best of situations by project managing and whether it be COVID or atrocities or other events, and I suppose providing for his beautiful family who arrived in Mount Cullen a number of years ago. settled in very quickly from abroad. David grew up abroad in Zambia. His parents ran a school there, and that's where he grew up. And of course, the girls started off over there and moved over to join us all in Mo Cullen a number of years ago. I was only out with Una last Friday morning for a Salerno parents gathering, coffee morning, a beautiful morning, and it's very poignant. Yeah,
it is. But I know that there's two schools involved, and Salerno is one of them, and they're issuing us a statement as well today, and we've also got a statement from Tullycoyne National School. But it's rocked the village, so it has. But I can only imagine what it was like for David, who has committed his life to helping others abroad and providing for his family, and his family working. I can only imagine what that journey has been like for him coming home.
We can only imagine. He's arriving about this time in Dublin now. He's been met by his brother, and he'll join his sisters, Una's sisters, Emer and Katrina, and the wider Carolyn family, and Bowden family. And they'll start the journey over the next week of proceedings. But yeah, David has had a long journey to come home. Absolutely. And yeah, Saoirse attended Tullycoyne School, and Ciara's in Salerno. She was in Salerno, and she was in Scolwera last year in sixth class.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to Ronan Scully, who works for Self Help Africa, and his daughter Sophie was best friends with Ciara. So the world is so small, but it's just a difficult time. So it is. It really is.
It sure is, and the supports are being set up over the last 24 hours, and there's a lot of counselling going on today with different schools and the clubs, the basketball club, GA club, the Camogie club, rugby, handball, of which Ciara played nearly all of those. Ciara was a friend of my daughter Romy, same age. Went to school together. Went to school together last year. My wife Karen taught Ciara last year. So it's a tough time, but we're all there ready for them when they're ready. And like I said, I'm just I was asked to come on this morning. Just I'm not sure anyone else is just in the right frame of mind to talk to people at the moment. So
listen, I do thank you indeed for joining us today, Adrian Devan, a family friend who lives in my corner, and like many others indeed, but put the strength together just to join us this morning to say those few words. I want to say farewell to Adrian there, and I want to go as far as Father Martin Whelan, who's joining us on the line now as well, because Father Martin is the heart of the community and has been the heart of the community since he was appointed parish priest indeed in Mo Cullen. And again, it's at times like this, and I can think of many other times when Father Michael McLaughlin was there indeed, where the community just come together. Father Martin, morning to you. Good to talk to you again.
Hello, Keith.
Thanks for joining us today. Again, I was talking to Adrian Devan there. The community came together last night, and as they do quite often, just to support each other, but to support those that need the support at this time, which is the Bowden family and the Carlin family.
Yeah. And the whole community is devastated. So, and Una in particular is really involved in the community, so there's all kinds of groups affected, sports clubs, social groups, the schools, so each group has and is continuing to organise different gatherings just for people to gather and to support each other.
It's going to be a difficult weekend, and it's a special weekend for a lot of people. This throws a cloud over it in Mo Cullen, but the services continue in Mo Cullen. And you will be there for David when he arrives later today with his family indeed to decide what the next move is here.
Yeah, well, as needs arise, we'll do our best to help people. Even last night, I mean, these were services that were scheduled anyway for Holy Week, but we just are dedicating them in a special way to Una, Saoirse and Ciara, and also, of course, remembering David, just and the two families.
As Adrian said to me there, he's just landed in Dublin Airport, or he's just about to land in Dublin Airport, and to meet he's been met by his brother and his sister-in-laws as well. Again, there'll be a celebration of life. There'll be a celebration of their lives as well. But you have to keep strong as well, Father Martin. I know you've been here before, but it's still a very human thing. You are the parish priest, and you are the priest of the parish, as I said, but it's still, you're a human being.
Yeah. But this is just about people supporting each other and taking it one day at a time.
Absolutely. Father Martin Whelan, thanks for joining us today. And let me go to Leah. Leah, we've got a statement in from Tullycoyne Nationalist School as well today. You have it there for us?
Yes, the statement came from Principal Brian McLaughlin. He said, on behalf of the school community, we here in Scullneath Breejack, Tullycoyne, are deeply saddened by the loss of three wonderful members of our school community. Saoirse was a third-class student and was an incredibly joyful, talented young girl with an infectious enthusiasm and wit that couldn't help but be a positive influence on everyone she met. She was an incredibly well-loved character in our small school community, and we are completely devastated by her loss. Ciara didn't attend school here, but we got to know her over the years as the wonderfully kind, caring older sister and daughter that she was. Una was a brilliant mother. She cared so wonderfully for her family and was a brilliant support to the school in every way possible. Today, our entire community in Tullycoyne and the wider Moycullen area are all completely devastated and heartbroken by the loss of three amazing people. As we try to offer whatever support we can, our thoughts are now with David and the entire Bowden family at this unimaginably difficult time.
Thanks for that. Leah, for that. We are getting a statement, I believe, from Salerno Secondary School as well, but just they're working on that, and we're working on it with them as well. Let me go, though, to Councillor Noel Thomas as well, who joins me on the line today. Noel, morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining. Now, we spoke Monday about politics, and doesn't it really just pale into insignificance when you see the loss that we're talking about this morning?
It becomes absolutely irrelevant, Keith, yes. It's very hard, I think, for anyone to grasp what has happened here. I mean, I think it's one of the most tragic events I've definitely seen in a long, long time, I have to say. And I have to commend your previous callers there on the very kind words that they've said so far. And in particular for Adrian, you can really see how this is incredibly difficult for him to do what he'd done, to come on the radio there with you this morning. And I have to say he'd done an excellent job on conveying exactly how the Bowden family had fitted in so well into the community here in Moycullen.
Yeah, the impact that they've had, each and every one of the four of them, the impact that they've had, the impact that Dad has had helping others abroad, the impact that, indeed, Mom was abroad with them for many, many years. They were away, Una and Ciara and Saoirse, they were abroad for years, and they lived in Africa for quite a while. So, like, they've given to the community, and to be struck down by this, one questions why.
It's just unimaginable, to be very, very honest with you. But when you said it yourself, Keith, at the top of the programme, you know, that the one thing Moycullen is good for is rallying behind people when it's needed. And I know that from me, I didn't know Una that well myself. I'd met her a couple of times. But I know from talking to a lot of people here over the last couple of days that, like, she has many, many friends in the area here. And you can be sure that the whole community here is going to come out and rally behind the family as much as they possibly can. And I know that the two little girls were involved in a lot of the different sporting clubs here, and stuff, sports and everything in the parish. And that's where, I said, Moycullen really comes into its own. And I know I was talking to the principal of the school here in Tullycoyne yesterday, and they were letting me know that what they're doing is they're opening the school today for the kids to come in.
Yeah.
And like, all this sort of stuff is vital at times like this, because I mean the impact that this will have on, say, the kids that went to school with both Ciara and Saoirse. I mean, it's very important that we remember that, because it's going to be difficult for all of them as well to take this in. And then support is needed, and it's great to see that the schools are stepping up to the mark as well and providing that support is needed.
Absolutely. No, we did speak with Brian indeed this morning, And I just think he's, my colleague did, Leah did, I was talking to others this morning, but the amount of people I've spoken to that are just traumatised by this, I mean, that cannot talk. Just cannot talk.
But of course, it's incredibly difficult. You can understand that anybody can, and Adrian said it himself there, like even when he was talking to you. But it's just, look, you've got to kind of hope and pray that, you know, that David and the rest of his family and friends can just kind of get the strength together somehow to try and pull themselves through this. Like, but it's incredibly difficult. And your heart to go out for them. Like, absolutely. I mean, our prayers and thoughts are with them all, and just hopefully they can somehow manage to get through the next few days here as well.
Yeah. Listen, thanks for joining us today. That's Constable Noel Thomas. We will be coming back to this later in the programme as well. But Constable Noel Thomas, thank you for joining us today in the programme. Don't forget the comment lines are open today if you want to get in contact with us. 086 38 33 55 3. That's 086 38 33 55 3 if you want to get in contact with us. Now we're going to give you a chance to win all of this week in association with the team at Arran Island Ferries. So we're going to give you a cue to call. And when you hear the cue to call, by the way, on this one, what you have to do then is basically send in your name and number. What are you going to win? You're going to win a pair of tickets because each and every day this week we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets. And you go into the end of week draw then tomorrow where you could win an overnight B&B stay in or Aine Bed and Breakfast. This is the cue to call. No, it's not the cue to call. I'll get that one right yet, so I will. The cue to call is here. And I'll get it right now, won't I? When you hear that, be it during the news, be it whatever, you text in your name and not until then. Now, a lovely book of poetry came my way from Joan Hardiman, and I'm joined in studio by Joan Hardiman and by her sister, Carmel Dempsey, as well. Ladies, good morning to both of you.
Morning, Keith.
Morning to you. Joan, thanks. You sent me in a lovely book of poetry, so you did. And it's, again, it's called My Serpentitious Life Poetry Volume. Mm-hmm. How long have you been writing poetry for?
Mainly since lockdown, I wrote. I didn't write much before that.
And did you ever write poetry beforehand? No.
No, I always liked English at school, but I didn't ever really write much. I never did anything with it or anything.
And where'd you get the inspiration? Because I was going through your poetry last night. Where'd you get the inspiration for it?
Well, it just comes to me, you know. And I can write quite fast then, you know. If something comes to me and I get it down. And then I just go over it a few times. And that's it. It comes to me intact, really, nearly. Yeah.
And do you love writing the poetry?
I do. I'm a bit slower at it now with the Parkinson's. But, you know, my mind doesn't work as fast. I might have to go over it more time.
Can I tell you something? Your mind is running faster than mine is today. I saw you coming into reception today. There was no loss on you at all coming in with the crew. How long have you had the Parkinson's?
Since I was diagnosed in 2016.
16, so
I've had DBS surgery done, deep brain stimulation surgery.
You said that to me, yeah.
Yeah, and that has helped me.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It works for some people.
Yeah.
And you were one of the first to have it, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Fifth in this country.
Fifth in this country?
Yeah.
Could that be where you got the inspiration for poetry then, I wonder? Could that just stimulate your brain from there?
Yes. I was writing it before that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, lots written before that.
Yeah.
Carmel, your mic is on there. Oh no, your mic isn't on. If I turned on your mic now, wouldn't it be absolutely great altogether? I'll turn it on in a second for you. Just talk to me about one that I loved last night. I have to find it here now. Robin, because I love Robins.
Robin.
Oh, yeah. Where did that inspiration, because I love Robins.
That's my little granny's, and she came to stay at my house when she was very little, and she was making little noises. Like a robin.
Yeah.
And I just pictured her Downy, you know, and she, I don't know, she just came to me that day when I had her staying with me.
Yeah.
It just, it's, Carmel, it's just, the final one is 5 ounces all night, toweling onesies, milky white while you rest, sweet dreams line your nest. So it takes in the child, and then it takes in the robin.
The robin, yeah.
So you're so talented, you marry the two together.
Yes.
Well, she does that a lot in her poetry.
Yeah. I notice she can really marry.
Yeah.
The same Robin is 10 now, so we'll say hello to Robin. She's listening today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10 years of age.
Yeah.
Robin Dempsey.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's. I mean, I'm looking at a dubious prayer. I'm looking at the other one that I was looking at was Rose Tinted Times.
Oh,
you know.
I was about my aunt. She was a nun that went to Texas.
Yeah,
and she used to come home every now and again, and she used to always be talking about the bog and about making hay and. It had all changed from her time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was away for, she didn't come home for about 25 years the first time. You know, when they went away at 17 on the ship.
They went.
From Cove, yeah. And when she came back, yeah, so many changes.
Yeah.
And she was so religious, Joan.
Yeah, she was.
We used to be kind of, you know, giggling at her in the background. Yeah. But you're right, Keith, that's a beautiful poem.
It's a beautiful poem, so it is. Yeah.
And Rose was her mother, so I think that's, the Rose Tinted Times. Yeah. That's the way Joan is able to double up stuff.
Yeah.
Rose Tinted, but my auntie's mother was Rose as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
And where is the book? You've done it on Book Hub, so you have,
yes.
Joan. Where is the book available? Where can they buy it now?
Well, it was in Charlie Burns. I don't know if there's any left now.
Well, we'll tell just Keith about the book launch. Vinnie said it was the liveliest book launch of all times in Charlie Burns.
Well, when you're involved in it, I'm not surprised.
The Bowl Maureen Fahey was playing tunes and Frankie Coulihan. And
yeah, it's a marvellous night.
We had a brilliant night. So there might be some copies there, but otherwise they'll have to get contact either the Joan hub. Or myself through Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
Or Marie Cahill, your friend.
Marie, yeah?
Yeah, and most importantly, the Book Hub Publishing. They're based just outside Cropwell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Niall and Susan. And
God, the two of you are singing in harmony, so you're there.
Yeah.
The next thing, we'll have a song coming up there.
Yeah, no, Joan's going great. She just wanted me to make sure we mentioned.
And Joan, just in relation, will you write another book?
Well, I took a break after that, and I've just started again now to write. I've got three poems written. And, I wouldn't have ever got to do it except for John Hines either. Mm. He's just after John Hines. He's in the pack.
Yeah.
He wrote the pack.
I see it here.
I didn't think that I would be able to had something good enough to publish. And when he read them, he said, yeah, go ahead.
And this is what he said about you, by the way. Joan Hardiman's poems are authentic, accessible and powerful, an enriching experience for the reader. She explores diverse themes with analytical precision and the importance of family tradition and the Irish heritage reflected in landscape. The wonder of childhood, the joy of the trauma of birth, life's diversity, beauty and randomness, existential angst in a chaotic world where death an illness become part of the smorgasbord of existence. Joan's personal encounter with Parkinson's is wonderfully objectified and transcends the particular to become a beacon of light for the reader when the rocky reefs of physical adversity looms. He's a poet himself, Dr. John
Hines. He's marvellous. He was a lecturer in the university.
Yeah, but that's lovely to have.
And he put me in touch with the book hub, with Susan and Niall.
Yeah.
And they were fantastic to me too.
There's a poem there, Joan Hardiman, called Hawk Hill, and it's dedicated to a childhood friend. What's the story there?
He was my uncle-in-law,
mm-hmm.
And it's one of my first memories. I was about four, and I used to love to go to his house. He'd bring me out to see the cattle and hens. We had a farm, but we had no hens or geese or anything like that. And he used to always be telling me stories and I took a liking to him, an old man.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's lovely to have that for, you know, even in his past, or if he's looking down. Now he knows that Hawk Hill is dedicated to him. Talk to me about, we have a piece here, which is a poem one we have for you here. We have the audio of it. What's the story of this, Carmel, then?
Well, Joan, we just had the idea during COVID, you know, so that people could listen to it in the car. We haven't it out as an audio, but we recorded, myself and my nephew, Dermot, he helped me with the technical part, and we recorded some of her poetry. and, you know, with backdrops. Mm-hmm. And the Hawk Hill track that you'll play, we use the lark in the clear air in the background because that's our Sunday mornings, and probably yours, Keith. Remember Kieran McMahona?
Yeah.
And his house.
Kieran was related to the Flahertys.
That was the house I was to visit.
He was married to Dolly McMahon.
That was Hawk Hill.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hawk Hill is a nice name.
It's a very emotional poem because she was tiny.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He was, and they were always given out to him for bringing you everywhere, and you loved it.
Yeah.
Good on you guys. Now, the book is called My Serendipitous Life, Poetry Volume. And I don't see Poetry Volume 1 now, so I don't.
And Joan, yes.
Your wonderful husband is outside there, indeed.
Yeah, he's very
Say hello to Mike Hardiman, her amazing husband.
He's awful shy. He wouldn't come into studio for me.
But he's always in the background supporting. And her daughter, Ellen, is listening, Keith, and she's the girlie that recorded Slán Abhaile. She raised 11,000 for Galway Parkinson's.
Wow.
Yeah, and thanks to you guys. You played it a lot.
Not at all, but they're great, and Marie Cahill is a wonderful driving force.
Marie and Caroline.
Rush as well.
Caroline Rush, yeah. Caroline, the two of them,
they're tuned in today in the physio class. Have us on today.
That's what worries me. And we lost a great friend, Clem Walsh, a few weeks ago as well.
He was our neighbour from home.
That's right, yeah.
And we played music at his mass. And
spoke very fondly, always spoke fondly of the Dempsey family.
He was a brilliant guy.
He is a brilliant guy, and he's no longer with us, but he's with us in spirit, so he is.
Yeah, for sure.
But listen, unfortunately, I missed his funeral. I was away. Listen to me, I'm going to play this, but thank you both for calling into us, Carmel and Joan, today. And thanks for Michael for coming in as well. And I'm going to play this, and it'll bring us into the next
one. Can I say one real fast thing? Joan's consultant, she'll tell me, Dr. Richard Walsh, and the matter. He's intrigued with her poetry, but he said to her this week, Joan, you are the most resilient, optimistic patient that I have. Wow. And he has a lot of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's an amazing man.
She loves him, so she wants to.
It must be in the blood, so it must be in the Dempsey blood.
One of her poems is Better Laugh Than Cry. That's our Joan.
Yeah, no,
she's amazing.
So let's take it. This is Fern Hill then that I'm playing.
Hawk Hill.
This is Hawk Hill, excuse me.
Yes.
Fern Hill is the garden centre in Athlone.
That's it. Hawk Hill. I do the vocal, and Dermot does all the technical stuff.
My nephew Dermot plays the
violin and this.
Violin.
Joan, thanks for calling in to us. Thanks for bringing this beautiful production to us, Joan Hardiman. Thank you for joining us today. And let's just take that piece right now.
Thank you, Keith.
Thanks.
Does want to come on, doesn't it? Yeah, just let me see. Bear with me one second, guys. Doesn't want to come on there. I'll tell you what. Hang on, maybe it's coming on there. Can we just throw the...
Hawk Hill. Hawk Hill, a hazy mystery from my past. It was the old man with the brown felt hat. Early rise, a little sweet tea for me. Filling his pipe, tapped the tobacco with a pointy brown finger. Content to answer my convoluted questions, walking hand in knuckly hand. Using his shiny brown walking stick, I cleared giant purple-headed thistles. Gingerly, he limped around, inspecting his grazing cattle. Appetite whetted, the smell of fresh soda bread, the bacon and cabbage already on the stove. Removing his hat to bless himself, the women with flapping hands and aprons busied round him. I liked the bench, my back to the wall, to see all. They scolded him as the porridge came. The child was out of bed too soon. What would her mother say? He bowed his head in mock shame. In the shed with the red double doors, black pot with the sludgy mash, I can still remember the smell of it. Through the pristine sty, the sow's beady eye, fiery blonde lashes stared out at me. Distracted by the gruel, she sloppily drooled. Her squealing piglets gathered round. She roughly nudged them with her wet snout. I hid in the shed as the geese were let out. On Monday, I loved them. By Wednesday, loathed them. Holding on to my dress, the hissing gander had beat me with his windy, wiry wings. With arms flailing, he saved me, placing his hat upon my head, saying, "That boy will be in the pot by Christmas." I laughed to save him. The women wouldn't know. On the road by the Turlock, enthralled by tales of fantasy and fun, the magic beneath the turlough. Now you see it, now you don't. The dark black moss rocks on a dirty white base. Can never have enough of this peculiar place. On now to the visiting house. Welcome in. Pipe lit again. Talking would begin. Trying to listen in. I'd wake in the settle bed disgruntled. I'll stay awake tomorrow. Dedicated to a childhood friend, John Flaherty, Hawkhill.
Absolutely beautiful. I think, Carmel, you should do the rest of them all together then from there.
I have it.
Make a lovely audio, wouldn't they?
I have it in my head, haven't we, Joan?
Yeah.
We have it in our head to do it. See, once COVID passed, dear, everyone got busy. We'll do it.
Now that Keith has suggested it, think about it, guys. Joan, thanks for dropping into us today. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
So it is all together. I remember that forever. And Joan Hardiman, thank you for joining us today. And Carmel Dempsey, your sister, thank you for joining us as well. Quick commercial break. We're looking at ophthalmology next for pediatric children. What a lovely book that is, by the way, by Joan Hardiman. And if you know Carmel Dempsey and the world, and its mother knows Carmel Dempsey, she's Carmel's sister, Joan Hardiman. And her husband, Michael, they were with us this morning. The book is beautiful, a book of poetry. And it's one I'm going to cherish, to be honest. I love poetry. And I have, Rita Ann Higgins gave me a lovely present of three of her books, or four of her books recently. And I love poetry. And I'm going to even love it more when I'm retired. I think, is it 11 programmes, including today, we have left? So we're on the countdown, so we are. Now, though, let's move on today, because I want to go back to a subject, because 2 weeks ago we were talking about ophthalmology when it comes to pediatric care and how bad it is and how bad it is and how bad it is and getting worse and getting worse. And I just kind of jumped in. It was a national piece that we were doing with a national organisation. I said, hang on a second. Galway has knocked it out of the park. But when you look at waiting times for pediatric patients requiring eye tests have been reduced dramatically from 2 years to 6 weeks in Galway under the new ophthalmology modernised care pathway. Care pathway program. Now, Dr. Geraldine Comer, who's the lead ophthalmologist for the Galway Community Integrated Eye Care team, joins me because she and her team are responsible for doing this. Dr. Comer, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
I love when we lead in the west of Ireland and we kind of go nyah, 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 nyah to the rest of it, but we shouldn't be doing it. But Galway is doing extremely well, and well done. How did you make this? How did you turn this around, you and the crew?
Well, essentially, I started on the 1st of May 2023, and Community Health Galway really supported me hugely, and we have set up a team. So I have three optometrists, an orthoptist, a fabulous nurse, and a great admin staff. And we just upped the clinics hugely, got all three centres running at full capacity. So we now have three centres running, one in Chantla, one in Tuam, one in Loughrea. We run a 5-day service in each of them. So we've upped the clinics from approximately between 10 and 12 a week to almost 40 a week. So this has allowed us really to get on top of the waiting list and get it cleared. And we now have a pathway where children are referred and they are seen, you know, within the time frame that they should be seen.
But we hear of, you know, we listen to politicians talking about that they're going to do this and they're going to do that. You just did it.
We did. I was lucky in that I had some experience with community care prior to taking up the post. So I was aware of the problem. So really, we got going. We literally got going at a run and started straight away. And we've had huge buy-in from all the different services. And not only have we cleared our own waiting list, but we're now rolling it out to Galway University Hospital. So they're now discharging about 75% of their pediatric eye cohort out to us. And so they're only seeing those that really they need to see.
Yeah.
And we're now going to open it up. We're opening it up to the GPs for direct referral. They used to refer into the hospital, and also to the paediatricians. So we'll be the first port of call for all children who need eye care.
Because
and then children who need specialist care can go on to Galway University Hospital.
Because we were actually, during the piece that we were talking about nearly 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, I did say that for a child to succeed in school and otherwise early intervention, like what we're talking about, there's no point in they waiting 2 or 3 or 4 years for this intervention, because they will have lost. If they get in early and they're treated like we're talking about today, and a determination is made that they need X, Y and Z or don't need X, Y and Z, at least they can get on with the education process and not be hindered.
You're absolutely right. And the critical period, the period of visual development, is up to the age of 7.5. So children are screened in junior infants. So if they're referred in, we need to see them, you know, in a very timely manner. And prior to this, they could be waiting a couple of years, but now they're getting seen. And the small children are also getting seen within the correct time frame. And the other big cohort, which is very close to my heart, is the children with additional needs.
It's
so important that those children are able to see to the best of their ability to allow their development. So we're actually taking on that cohort. That cohort used to come through the hospital, but now all the different services, the early childhood services, they're aware they can come directly to us.
But the figures again, Dr. Geraldine Coomer, the figures, over 3,500 children have been treated from the waiting list, including 2,633 who'd been waiting for more than a year. So effectively, the system wasn't working before you came and put these structures in place.
It is absolutely true. They just the staff, they didn't have the staff. They didn't have the clinics running, and we've just come in on this modernized care pathway, and investment has been done and we've set it up, and with the help of all the staff, it really has been wonderful. I'm so proud of everybody in the team, and they've all really bought into it and really gone that extra mile. So it is great. It's a real positive story, I feel, for Galway.
It is, but you know what, for this to be positive, no matter, I mean, if it was the eye or any other facility that's been done, you need a leader on this one that will say to them, we can do this, and let's just do this, which is what you did.
Well, it's true, and I love community care, and I have a great passion for children's eye health, so always had. But it's wonderful to get the support from all the powers that be, and management have been really fantastic.
Yeah.
They've really bought in and put the investment in. And the important thing for us now is to keep it going.
Because they see the impact. They see the impact immediately. You know, you've done what you've done, and they can see the figures are there.
Yes, and children are, parents are happy, children are happy. You know, they're getting to achieve their educational potential, which is just so essential. Mm-hmm. And, you know, their vision is so important with regards to that young child's development. So, you know, getting them into the right glasses, getting them on the right treatment protocols, it's just so important.
Well done. Congratulations to you on what you've achieved. Well, and again, if there's GPs listening to us and or otherwise a parent, and you are concerned, or a school and you're on midterm or otherwise, and you are concerned, GP referral, and just take it from there, and you'll be seen.
Absolutely.
As well.
And your school's nurse, your public health nurses, they all refer directly to us, the paediatricians now from the hospital, and also the ophthalmic surgeons in the hospital. It's all coming through us.
Well done.
So, yes.
Forgive me for saying it, the one-stop shop that'll fix it all. And
the one-stop shop that'll start them on their journey. And for 80 to 90%, we will be able to, you know, continue that journey. And then the small number of children that need to go on to the tertiary referral, they can get sent on and get seen also there in a timely manner.
All right. Dr. Geraldine Coomer, thank you so much for joining us. And we need another few Geraldine Coomers out there as well. And well done to the Sale to Hospital Group and all involved in it for putting their shoulders to the wheel on that. I think that's a really positive story, and I'm delighted to have it on the programme this morning. And well done to all involved in that.